Part 3. You will hear an interview with Maria Stefanovic, co-founder of a creativity group which organises workshops for executives. For questions 18 to 22, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which best fits what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at Part 3.
Not long ago, stressed-out executives at embattled Marks & Spencers were packed off on a training course. There's nothing unusual in that, but the team was in for a surprise. There was no time management seminar, no flashy flip charts. Instead, they were faced with cardboard, paint and glue. With us here is Maria Stefanovic, co-founder of Droll, the creativity group which ran the creative workshop for those executives. What exactly did the team do with these art supplies?
During the particular day-long session, each delegate was required to create a mask to show the face they presented at work. You see, mask-making is a very effective corporate tool. Often people create faces that are anxious and alienated. The process of looking inwards and transforming difficult issues helps them access their intuitive, imaginative skills.
Why do you believe such an unconventional approach to seminars has caught on?
Creativity has become a prized commodity, even in such professions as accountancy. Whereas once we could drag ourselves into work, safe in the expectation of doing nothing more taxing than, work, now our bosses have other ideas. They have begun to see that if you sit in a boring meeting in a boring conference room, you will emerge with boring ideas. All companies are hungry for new ideas, but if you push and pull in a pressured atmosphere, there's creative bankruptcy. As companies become desperate to harness creativity and lateral thinking, they are being forced to look at new ways of fostering those talents.
Where did such programs originate from?
The roots of the play industry lie on the other side of the Atlantic. 10 years ago, the marketing firm Play pioneered the techniques now taking off here in Britain. Staff at Play invent their own superheroes and costumes. They have an office playroom and a company dog, which is picked up for work, even when its owner is away. And there are no conventional job titles. Instead, employees have business cards printed with peculiar slogans such as "What If?" and "Voice of Reason." When you turn work into a place that encourages people to be themselves, have fun, and take risks, you unleash their creativity. It all comes down to employers having at last realised that a happy team is a creative one. Funnily enough, excuse the pun, most of the companies that sign up are the ones that have least need for it. Young, gung-ho firms in new media and advertising, they do a lot of presentations, but their workers do them in a linear way. Creativity programs make them think laterally. Some companies send people on adventure excursions. Creativity groups are another way of getting people focused and excited.
The Humberside Training and Enterprise Council found that storytelling workshops breed confidence. How so?
Storytelling workshops are particularly beneficial in confidence building. There was one woman who presented a story about how nervous she felt giving a presentation to the board. She said she felt like a rabbit caught in the headlights, and her teeth felt too big for her mouth. So we acted out a story with her as the rabbit. The humour of it allowed her to overcome that fear. These days, we are seeing everything from mime, circus skills and comedy to finger painting. It all sounds worryingly new age, but our company has been called in by such conservative and long-established corporations such as SmithKline Beecham, Hedron, Chesterton Property and government agencies. It has also worked with staff at the Industrial Society. We asked them to describe the society as if it were a landscape. At first, everyone talked about how it was a beautiful, serene place. Then someone described a bog, another a volcano about to erupt. It's all about encouraging better communication. The benefits are tangible. We've had lots of feedback about how staff bring more passion and ideas to their work. They take more risks and are more honest.
Now you'll hear part three again.
Not long ago, stressed-out executives at embattled Marks and Spencers were packed off on a training course. There's nothing unusual in that, but the team was in for a surprise. There was no time management seminar, no flashy flip charts. Instead, they were faced with cardboard, paint and glue. With us here is Maria Stefanovic, co-founder of Droll, the creativity group which ran the creative workshop for those executives. What exactly did the team do with these art supplies?
During the particular day-long session, each delegate was required to create a mask to show the face they presented at work. You see, mask-making is a very effective corporate tool. Often people create faces that are anxious and alienated. The process of looking inwards and transforming difficult issues helps them access their intuitive, imaginative skills.
Why do you believe such an unconventional approach to seminars has caught on?
Creativity has become a prized commodity, even in such professions as accountancy. Whereas once we could drag ourselves into work, safe in the expectation of doing nothing more taxing than, work, now bosses have other ideas. They have begun to see that if you sit in a boring meeting in a boring conference room, you will emerge with boring ideas. All companies are hungry for new ideas, but if you push and pull in a pressured atmosphere, there's creative bankruptcy. As companies become desperate to harness creativity and lateral thinking, they are being forced to look at new ways of fostering those talents.
Where did such programs originate from?
The roots of the play industry lie on the other side of the Atlantic. 10 years ago, the marketing firm Play pioneered the techniques now taking off here in Britain. Staff at Play invent their own superheroes and costumes. They have an office playroom and a company dog, which is picked up for work even when its owner is away. And there are no conventional job titles. Instead, employees have business cards printed with peculiar slogans such as "What If?" and "Voice of Reason." When you turn work into a place that encourages people to be themselves, have fun, and take risks, you unleash their creativity. It all comes down to employers having at last realized that a happy team is a creative one. Funnily enough, excuse the pun, most of the companies that sign up are the ones that have least need for it. Young, gung-ho firms in new media and advertising. They do a lot of presentations, but their workers do them in a linear way. Creativity programs make them think laterally. Some companies send people on adventure excursions. Creativity groups are another way of getting people focused and excited.
The Humberside Training and Enterprise Council found that storytelling workshops breed confidence. How so?
Storytelling workshops are particularly beneficial in confidence building. There was one woman who presented a story about how nervous she felt giving a presentation to the board. She said she felt like a rabbit caught in the headlights, and her teeth felt too big for her mouth. So we acted out a story with her as the rabbit. The humour of it allowed her to overcome that fear. These days, we are seeing everything from mime, circus skills and comedy to finger painting. It all sounds worryingly new age, but our company has been called in by such conservative and long-established corporations such as SmithKline Beecham, Hedron, Chesterton Property and government agencies. It has also worked with staff at the Industrial Society. We asked them to describe the society as if it were a landscape. At first, everyone talked about how it was a beautiful, serene place. Then someone described a bog, another a volcano about to erupt. It's all about encouraging better communication. The benefits are tangible. We've had lots of feedback about how staff bring more passion and ideas to their work. They take more risks and are more honest.
That's the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.